listening to Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan. Large cities have experienced a huge exodus since the pandemic in 2020. Many people are resisting to go back to those cities, and even more are resisting to return to office. What happens to such cities? This week, I'm going to be talking about dying cities. If you study history, you will see that many civilizations, many cities rose and fell. If you ask historians, when did the fall of the civilization or city begin? Each one will have their own version. If you ask five of them, they'll tell you five different points at which the cities fell. Just as an example, if you were to ask somebody, when did the British Empire really end in India? India gained independence on the 15th of August 1947. But the discussions about the independence itself started in 1945. And part of the reason was because of the difficulties that Britain had faced after the Second World War. Their exchequer was heavily drained. They were depending on American aid to survive. And to maintain a force in India at that time seemed really difficult. But if you ask some others, they would point to the First World War. Britain's finances were actually hollowed out after the First World War itself. And the Jallianwala Bagh massacre that happened in 1919 cemented the demise of the empire. It was part of the reason why Gandhi was able to pursue non-violence as a path to independence, because the British had already given up. So as you can see, you can believe what you want to believe. There are different versions that can obviously be presented. When we come to the present, the pandemic caused a seismic shift in the way a lot of white collar people work. May not have changed a lot for the blue collar workers, but for the white collar workers, they went home and they started working out of home. And what happened thereafter was really amazing. Like, over the course of 2020, there were products that were developed, there were launches that were made, there were sales targets that was met. All of these things happened over the course of the year as if nothing had really changed. People were not going to office. Most people stuck to doing precisely what they would have been required to do in office, and everything sort of worked out. So at the time itself, there were a lot of questions about what's going to happen to commercial real estate. If you take a city like New York, 24% of the real estate is commercial. Most of it is office space, but also real estate like retail, restaurants, etc. exist. Now, this clustering of offices and retail and real estate, restaurants, etc. is what gives us the commercial business district. It's the beating heart of most cities. And if people are not going into office, then retail spaces lose value. And the whole question of who would even go to the CBD comes up. The pandemic came to an end insofar as we no longer wear masks all the time. But people did not really immediately go back to office. In fact, the pandemic had many waves, so offices were reluctant to open fully. And through the course of 2021, many offices allowed people to work from home full time. Now, having given people the option of working from home for more than 2 years, the question of why do I really need to come into office has obviously raised its head. Recently, companies like Amazon and Google have been trying to enforce a policy of bringing employees back to office. And that's not 5 days a week. They want employees to come back at least 3 days a week. And there has been a huge amount of protest and pushback against this. People like the autonomy, people like the flexibility that working from home gives them. And in most companies, the question of return is only about whether it's going to be 2 days a week or 4 days a week. So safe to say the 5 day a week office life is done for good. Hybrid is here to stay. And all the questions that are floating around about going back to office is, how many days are we going to get to work from home? That is the real question that anybody is asking. Now, if you take somebody who has very strong home roots, so take for example somebody who is from Philadelphia who works in New York, and the pandemic sort of ensured that that person went back to Philadelphia, back to home. Why would they want to come back to New York? Why would they want to show up for 2 days a week? It makes no sense, and hence the huge amount of pushback. But on the other side, what is happening is many of these office spaces are coming up to a point where their leases have to be renewed. And many of these companies are deciding not to renew their lease because they are seeing empty desks day after day. In 2020, when the pandemic first broke out, it was thought that this would be a very temporary thing and everything will return back to normal. And then with multiple waves of the pandemic that took place, the thought was that, okay, once this whole thing subsides and we get across to the other side, we will get back to normal. Now, with the amount of pushback that's happening, even if employees are coming in 2 days a week or 3 days a week, there are going to be days when the office is still going to be empty. And it's not like every employee is going to show up on the same day of the week to maintain maximum amount of real estate. Therefore, a lot of offices are actually abandoning their physical space and they are trying to see how to optimize this. What has happened as a result of that is, like for example, in New York, you have 22% of the commercial real estate lying vacant, which is the highest on record since 1984. When this data started getting tracked, there are over 128 buildings in Manhattan that currently have more than 200,000 square feet of space that is available for lease. All put together, more than 52 million square feet of space is available for lease. So, from the standpoint of many of the owners of this space, the question is really which space do I want to hold on to and which space do I want to give up? Because many of them has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on modernizing these buildings as well. And then they've invariably collateralized the building and taken a loan against those buildings. So the question really is it going to be worthwhile paying back that loan and holding on to the building? Because you need to be able to generate business out of the building. And it's not just New York. In fact, the city that has taken the biggest amount of hit actually is San Francisco, followed by New York, Munich, Shanghai, Paris. So, in some ways, if you look at it, many of the large metropolitan cities are in the same boat. All of them are seeing a huge exodus from the perspective of commercial real estate. And a lot of people really don't want to move back into these spaces because there isn't enough demand for it. Employers are attempting to call workers back into office, but there's a huge amount of pushback, and attendance is down 30% from pre-pandemic levels. For example, if you look at offices in London, people are going into office 3.1 days a week, whereas in Beijing it's about 3.9, but nobody is going back 5 days a week. And that's not the end of it all. If offices are not occupied, then pubs, restaurants, retail businesses cannot really function viably because a lot of these businesses occupy real estate that's even more expensive. So they depend on all of these people showing up, they depend on all of these people shopping. So if suddenly there is a 20% drop in the number of people that frequent a particular area, the viability of many of these businesses come into question. And then there are second order, third order, and fourth order effects. So, for example, people who supply these businesses are suddenly finding themselves unviable. And just think about the number of cabs that you would have found on a particular street when there were a certain number of people who were frequenting that street versus if that number drops, you have fewer cabs, right? So, all kinds of economic activities get hit. So, what can they do about it? From the standpoint of a lot of the real estate owners, McKinsey says that, you know, over the next 10 years, there's going to be probably an erosion of about $800 billion in real estate value in many of these cities. Now, the financial hit is something that many of these people can absorb. In fact, a lot of them are probably going to pass it on to the banks from what I read. They don't want to pay back the loans that they have taken to either finance these buildings or renovate these buildings. And if they feel that certain buildings will never fill up again, they want the banks to repossess those buildings and then deal with it themselves. So, in some ways, we are looking at a possibility where instead of a subprime rent lending crisis, we are going to have a super prime lending crisis where, you know, high quality assets are now being palmed off to the banks. Cities are also trying to redo these buildings or, you know, reuse these buildings in the form of probably residential buildings. But the problem with a lot of the buildings that are custom built for commercial purpose is that they're usually just entirely floor sheathed in glass on four sides, right? The only duct that's available is for the elevator to go up and down. Whereas if you're building a house, you want windows, you want ventilation, you want light to come into the room. And it's going to be really difficult to refashion many of these buildings into residential houses. So that's going to be another problem that many of these cities are going to deal with. So, you know, in summation, I'm not saying that New York is dead or San Francisco is dead, but if a lot of these employees are not going to go back, there's going to be a lot of real estate that's going to be abandoned. There's going to be a lot of real estate that will never get occupied again. There's a major shift in the way at least white collar workers are looking at work, right? And therefore, their willingness to go back full time is lower, and they don't want to deal with the traffic and all of the other trappings that come with working 5 days a week. They don't want to do that. And also, the one thing that the pandemic has shown us is when you take 10 million people and cram them into a space which is 300 square kilometers in a city like New York, it just makes the disease spread faster. So large cities are actually falling out of vogue. What is going to be the fate of such cities is the question. Now, maybe these cities bounce back, maybe business comes back, maybe there is another black swan event that makes this worse. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it will take a hugely optimistic person to bet that these cities will actually come back and 2020 will not be a high watermark from the standpoint of commercial real estate in a lot of the metropolitan cities. Let's see how this plays out. So with that, I come to the end of this particular podcast. I'll bring you another one very soon. Until then, goodbye.